Welcome to Connectivity. On this episode, we'll be talking about E3, the NX, and our launch console memories. Today, I'm joined by Becky Holliday.
Hello.
Kimberly Keller.
Hello.
And Joshua Max.
Hey, well, you can just call me Josh.
Oh, Josh. Yeah, Josh. I was going to say Josh, and I was like, Joshua at the last second.
It's okay.
I always have to mess someone's name up on this opening. So. Once again, I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and right, we're going to jump right into it. Well, seeing though Kim and Josh have not been on an episode in a very long time, I thought we would just maybe catch up with you guys. So, Josh, how you been going? What's been up?
I'm good. Yeah, I gotta say, like, I've missed being on podcasts with everybody. It's just, you know, I've been crazy. I've been obsessed with my new 3DS and Amiibos, and I'd love to talk about anything and everything about them with anybody who wants to. And I'm just obsessed with Fire Emblem. I got the special edition, and I've just been like cuddling with it. It's just, I love it so much. And I still don't have a Wii U.
You still don't have a Wii U? Well, at this point, wow. You may as well not bother, I guess.
I know, yeah, right? They've decided they're not making anymore. Good job, Josh.
I finally saved up, and I saw that. I saw the article, and it was like, yep, we're not making any more Wii U's. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll just go. I literally dusted off my N64 and was like, all right, let's play some Banjo-Kazooie.
Well, that's always a good choice.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
So, Kim, what's been happening with you, actually?
Well, me and Becky have been doing the Kim and Becky show, and I'm the editor for it also, so that just kind of destroys all my time. As Becky gets to sit back and relax.
Hey, Jesus. Hey, I work on the scripts.
That's like a Becky. I mean, come on.
I work on the scripts. Come on.
Becky, get it together.
I try.
And without fail, every single game I review has insane deadlines. Like, I reviewed Fire Emblem, and I had a week to play all three games. So,
all three games.
Yeah.
I've just been completely drowned in other aspects of NWR.
Hmm. How did you play all three games within a week? What?
She didn't.
No sleep.
I had no friends and family for a week. Nobody saw me. I had to make some life choices.
What's more important, video games or life?
I mean, like,
come on, there's a kingdom to save.
Well, there's a few kingdoms, but did you just like skip the kids?
Yeah, I didn't do that until after my review came out. Then I went back and focused more.
You gotta get those kids. Yeah, it's all about the kids.
It's the best part.
I had to, man. Finish the damn games.
It's like Honey Pop. You just gotta You gotta play them all.
I never really focused a lot on the kids and stuff like that, even on like the past ones. I know you love doing that, Josh, but...
Josh
loves
got...
having kids, is that what it is?
He loves his virtual babies.
Hold on. Don't paint me in that light. I just love Fire Emblem, because I talked to Neil about it, like, way back when during Awakening, about, like, how much I loved shipping everybody, and Neil was like, I love shipping, too. And we got into it, for a while. I do love that aspect.
I remember listening to everybody having all of these like strategic things about Fire Emblem Awakening and who they were going to pair up so they got the best abilities. And I was like, these two have the cutest support conversation, and I can't pair this person with anybody else but this person. These are my ships.
But like,
and everybody else is like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, but like, there are some that they just like, they phoned in. Like, I was like, oh, well, Jacob and Camilla, like, that's kind of cool. Like, the butler and the older sister, like, how cool is that? But their conversation was just, well, we both love the protagonist so much, I guess we should love each other. And I was like, way to phone it in, writers. That's not how life works.
That's not how love works, Josh.
No, that's not how love works, Kim.
Play a dating sim, both, Kim, don't go. Jeez.
Oh, God. If there were... Well, actually, I think I actually have reviewed dating sims for Nintendo World Report, because I remember I reviewed Sprung on the DS when that came out. So maybe I am the dating sim guy.
I don't know. I've done a few of them myself. I'm farming sim slash dating sim girl. Most of my reviews have been one of those two.
Where's our podcast?
You learn everything you need to know about love from Harvest Moon.
Yep.
You just need to give them gifts and then end it with a blue feather.
Yep. Give all of your friends gifts and they will love you. And that's the only way anybody will care if you live or die.
That's why I buy my friends dinner.
I mean, Becky gives me the best gifts. That's why we're friends.
Right?
Oh, that's why you never call me back. All right. Now I understand why you only talk to me through text.
Yeah, Josh, I didn't get anything from you. And it was like, I'm giving you all these gifts and you didn't reciprocate.
You know what? I thought it was just birthday, then Christmas, then Thanksgiving. And all right, this joke's going too far. Let's move on.
It's friendship.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Hey, so Becky, have you been playing Fire Emblem as well, I guess?
Yeah, actually. I got busy for a while there. We talked about this last time. I was doing that was not video games. And now that that's kind of over with, I've sort of started going back to the things that I wasn't playing during January and February, so I finally got to start Fire Emblem Birthright, which was nice. Little ways in now. I know I got, I can't even remember her name, but she's the farmer, or the villager character that you're looking
Mozu?
At this person going, yes, her! I'm like, you look totally useless, which means I better level you up.
Oh yeah, she's
me
like
and
Johnny.
Josh's
she's
are, like,
a
kick
beast
ass right now.
Yeah, so yeah, I just went, okay, it's like Donald 2.0. So this is gonna be important.
Yeah, I love Donnie.
So I was just like, yeah, I got through that and a couple of the early challenges in the game, and I'm like, wow, this is kind of a cakewalk even in classic mode.
Oh,
just
because
everybody's leveling up so fast. Yeah, I always do classic. I never do casual, just because. Not that I have anything against casual mode. Everybody can play what they want, but, you know, it's something I really liked about Fire Emblem always was the permadeath system. So, you know, it was just, it's a little extra challenge that I like, so I always play in classic mode.
For Birthright.
My first feature for NWR was about permadeath.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know
for
about
Birthright,
it.
For Birthright, the classic mode is the best one, but for Nor, I was so frustrated, I literally became a filthy casual.
Oh, you didn't get all the way to Phoenix mode though, did you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was just a filthy casual. Please,
I literally lost
one person each round, and I was like, you know what? I just want to finish the story so we can play Revelation.
Yeah, I think I pretty much have come to the conclusion that I'm probably gonna have to do that with Conquest because Conquest is also sitting on my shelf to play after Birthright. So, I'll probably end up doing casual mode just because I'm like, it's gonna take me forever to get through anything if I play classic mode, because everybody's gonna keep dying.
Yay! Filthy casual!
This has a lot to do with E3 and the NX.
Fire Emblem!
So, with, like, I don't really play Fire Emblem games. Like, why do you guys like the permadeath thing? Especially when all you do is turn it off and restart it anyway. I mean,
it's just a bonus challenge, really, because that's just it. Is you know you're going to have to restart the whole chapter and restructure your strategy if you lose anybody. Because sometimes you'll lose them because of, you know, straight-up negligence or because of just bad luck. You know, freaking enemy crits your character or something like that, and you're, like, freaking serious.
It's like the Nuzlocke challenge for Pokemon.
Yeah. It just gives you a little bit of an extra difficulty factor in it, because, you know, you'll have to restart if you want to keep those characters. And sometimes they're
like
really valuable.
When I'm in casual mode, it definitely will send somebody off on a suicide mission.
Oh, totally.
You know, because you just know you'll get him back right away. So it's like, oh, well, just send him off. Yeah, he'll probably die, but at least he'll take out a couple of people. Whereas classic mode, you have to really think it through, and every single choice is weighted. I mean, you can restart, but then you have to go through the whole damn battle again, and it could have been on, like, your 50th turn or something.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to be just, like, way more careful and stuff like that when you're playing classic mode, just because, like Kim said, she totally would be A-okay sending somebody off on a suicide mission, because it's like, oh, you'll come back. But, you know, you just have to, you always make sure your healers are surrounded, you always make sure your ranged aren't, you know, gonna end up against somebody that they can't defeat. You know, it's just you have to really go through and constantly be checking enemy units to see how far they can move, to see you know, how many hits they can land on your character, how much damage they can do if you put your character in the line of fire. And just, like, I know one of the things with me that really sucks is two of my favorite units are snipers and Pegasus Knights, and neither of them can take hits very well. Well, unless it's magic damage for Pegasus Knights. But, so, like, in the early games, trying to level up the Pegasus Knights was just a pain because they couldn't take more than one hit. And just, like, having to constantly have this really high mobility unit that you almost couldn't do anything with because you had to have other units that could tank for them.
Yeah, but now you got those Kinchi Knights.
Yeah, God. I gotta tell you, though, I freaking love Tsubaki. He's a lot tankier than I thought he was gonna be.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is a Pegasus Knight that can actually take out, like, five enemies without dying. What is this?
Yeah, because he's perfect.
Yeah, he is. He's wonderful.
So, back to Emblem Cast. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, I'll wrap things up.
I am your great lord, Marth.
I'll wrap things up quickly. Well, recently I've just been playing more N64 games, actually. I ran through GoldenEye on the easiest difficulty and went through all the levels again. And it was pretty fun. It was a pretty fun, like, go through it again, because I had forgotten a lot about, you know, some of the later missions. Like, there's some missions that I played a lot when I was younger and I could remember, like, how it went. But then you come up against some missions and just, like, why? Where do you go? Like, what are you supposed to do? And, like, when you just dropped into a level in GoldenEye, you just sort of got to explore and poke around until you sort of stumble across what the objective is. One of the levels you have to meet up with a character, and he's like inside of a shipping container.
But oh yeah.
He's not like just in the middle of the shipping container. He's like inside the door that's closed, the half of the door that's closed. And I looked in there, and like I didn't see him the first time. I was walking around the entire level, going, "Where is he? Like, where is this guy?" And I ended up looking it up, and then it's like, "Oh, what? He's just standing in the shadows in this shipping container that I actually looked in already." I mean, that was kind of annoying.
He just kept quiet.
yeah. I don't.
But
really,
what,
like,
a well-made game.
Hey, the single player was like, it is dated a bit now, but it's still pretty fun, and it was fairly revolutionary at the time, having these, like, different objectives you have to complete. I mean, I can't think, there might have been something on PC that did something similar before GoldenEye, but I can't think of it.
I wasn't being sarcastic, I was serious, like, it was a well-made game, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, but there is some things that are annoying. I mean, protecting Natalia can be frustrating, is it? Like, so frustrating.
Protecting any AI is just, like, the worst, because they just, for some reason, have this thing about standing in the line of fire, and you're like, really? Mm. I can move out of that. Why can't you?
And, like, when I was younger, I used to be paranoid about getting too far away from Natalia, because I thought she would, like, just forget where to go, or I'll lose track of her. But it seems like you can just sort of run off, and as long as the objective's complete, it doesn't really matter. So you can just, like, sort of run off and leave her and finish the level. Aside from GoldenEye, I was also playing Snowboard Kids. Did you guys ever play Snowboard Kids?
Yes.
No.
Really?
I never even heard of it.
Basically, Mario Kart with snowboards.
With snowboards.
Yeah. And let me tell you, the CPU in that game is frustrating as anything. Getting gold on any of the the later tracks at least, is basically down to luck. I was stuck on a couple of levels for ages, just redoing them, like, over and over again, every now and then, for a few days. And a lot of the times I would be, like, on the last, like, turn of the track, and I would just be annihilated by somebody doing something. So it was really, it's really hard to get first place in Snowboard Kids. And, it's pretty fun. You can get, like, different boards, and you can unlock a few different tracks. And there's, like, even a secret character you can unlock, which I haven't done yet. But so basically, you go down a hill, in, like, a mountain, basically, and there's like different item boxes you can get. There's one for attack and one for defense, and you need to have like 100 coins to be able to go through an item box. You have to pay for your items, and if you don't have any coins from doing tricks or picking them up on the track, you'll just run into the item box and basically stop, you crash. So you have to always be sort of aware of how many coins you've collected so far. It's mainly only a problem on the first lap of a track, because by the time you get to the second one, you've generally built up like 700 or 800 coins, so you're generally okay after that. The funniest thing.
I can't even imagine this. Sorry, you were saying the funniest thing.
So you still following me? Am I making sense?
No, I'm following you, but this is like, I'm just like, what is happening in this game?
And like, obviously, because it's a hill, you're going down a hill. The to start the next lap, you've got to get onto a ski lift. So there's like a tiny little doorway at the end of each course that
need
to try and aim it right to get into, so like it puts you onto the ski lift. Mm-hmm. And if someone else is like just entered it, you'll crash and then fall backwards, and then someone else can come in behind you and get in front of you, and it's always like a sort of a scramble to get on the stupid ski lift.
I was kind of directionally challenged as a child, so that really like always messed me up, was trying to hit that doorway and not everything else and everybody else.
Like I never really played a single player as a kid because I didn't own the game, but we played a lot of multiplayer, and yeah, positioning and like screwing people over at the gate was the funniest thing. So yeah, that's pretty much like Snowboard Kids. Like it does something sort of interesting with the way you control the boards as well, because it uses the, like, if you can picture the, do you know how the N64 analog stick has the each, like, the individual notches for where the analog stick goes. Mm-hmm. To turn sharp in this game, you have to basically use the one sort of at an angle down the bottom, so you don't just like turn left and right, you have to sort of angle it downwards to the side to do sharp cornering. So that's a little different than like holding down a drift button or, you know, just turning easily and stuff. So
I missed something in my childhood. Like I feel like I definitely missed something.
You should try it out. I mean, it's pretty fun. The music's really addictive. The game looks really nice. The only problem is that it takes up an entire controller pack for the N64. It literally uses the entire thing except like one page.
Wow.
Oof. So you have to dedicate a whole controller pack to the one game.
Oof, no, thank you.
Which was in and now he's out.
Yep. Mm. I'm very easily swayed by like the most minuscule things.
Okay, so we'll take a short break and we'll be back with a chat on what we hope for E3 and various NX related things. We'll be back in a sec. Welcome back. So now we're going to have a brief chat about E3, our sort of hopes and sort of what we sort of expect to happen this E3, and also the sort of the overall outlook for the NX and what we think Nintendo's strategy is going to be for the launch and the future. So let's start with E3. Like, I know it's a couple of months out, but what are we thinking they're going to do this year? Are we going back to the stage show?
I doubt it.
You doubt it?
Yeah, I'm just a pessimist when it comes to this stuff. Like, Nintendo's been around forever, and like, if you look at all the stage shows, nothing good comes of the stage shows. It's just kind of like Nintendo.
The Wii was pretty good.
Yeah, the Wii was good. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But then, like, after that, they were like, nothing really topped that. And then, you know, now it's just, you know, Microsoft and Sony are like, look at all this stuff, and everybody's going like, all right, well, you could have just like put out a video instead.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like the stage shows, but just from a selfish standpoint, since I'm there, I like the whole energy and excitement of it.
I think that comes across, like, usually there's a stream of it. I think that comes across as well when there's an audience and they're reacting to things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess they run a risk if, like, they say, here's the NX, and everyone's sort of like,
Like the Wii U.
Well, all right.
Oh, God, it burns my eyes. What?
Yeah, the Wii U was sort of a bit of a dud, wasn't it?
Just picture in silence, and then one person, what is it?
Can it read DVDs?
Or do we think like they might do sort of the big sort of Nintendo digital video again, and then maybe do a couple of smaller like stage conferences for like, I don't know, to go a little bit more in depth and like maybe like a console's like feature set, or just sort of showing off all the games that they have for the Wii U and 3DS and probably NX as well.
I would lean towards that. I liked, what was it, 2 years ago? Maybe three. I don't know. I can't keep track. But when they were announcing all the Smash Brothers stuff, and then they were able to put it up there and actually do a battle, and it was like a mini kind of stage event where, you know, there was a handful of people there, but they did it in an interesting way where we already knew, like, these games were happening, but they were showing us in a fun way with like people we liked on stage, and it was just very fun, comedic atmosphere. I think that was also when they had the Super Mario World with the cats, and they all had the cat paws. So I just like, I mean, Nintendo is really comedic and fun and friendly, and I like when they do those little events that just bring the charm to it.
So now we know that they're just going to have all mature rated titles for their launch. Just Mad World 2.
Oh, it was
2.
So weird when they had Bayonetta and like all of like on the floor of E3, they had like all the really bright white happy things of Nintendo, you know, light gray and white things. And then the very like background, you see this black section with a Bayonetta model posing for pictures. And there was never a line because everyone's like, what? Can I go?
You're not Link. So, well, but Nick, what do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's probably likely that, yeah, we'll probably have another digital video, but I do think that it would be smart for them to maybe consider doing the big sort of song and dance again, just to, I don't know, to bring the hype a bit more. Like, they need to sort of hype up Nintendo a bit.
That's true.
Bring back some excitement to the brand. At the moment, it feels like, you know, people are really wanting to know about NX, but in general, like, the Nintendo sort of, you know, fan enthusiasm's on a sort of a downward trend at the moment.
Well, I mean, do you feel like we've gotten all of the sequels that, like, we were looking forward to or that we were promised, you know, like, the Nintendo faithful? Like, we had the Star Fox Zero announcement. Like, we got the new Fire Emblem. Like, we're basically just short, like, a golden sun at this point.
Well,
but, like,
on the Wii U, it's practically a dead system.
Well, no, they've announced that. Like, we know that's coming.
Well, yeah. Oh, so I see what you're saying. In terms of, like, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, Snowboard Kids 3?
Snowboard Kids 3. I would like Snowboard Kids 3. That would be good. And actually, it could fit for Nintendo, obviously. I have to imagine that, like, I really do think that they tapped Retro to work on Metroid again, and it got shifted to NX because they're like, what's the point of having it on
Wii U? I mean, I'm sure somebody was like, well, the last one failed so hard. And they were like, well, it failed because... Yeah, well, no, I mean, it's, I don't know, like, I'm just excited for the next good Metroid game.
I think this is the E3 that we have to see what Retro's been doing. It's been so long since Tropical Freeze, and everyone was expecting like a tease last year, but they were quiet last year, so
yeah,
it has to be this year. Like Retro has to be coming this year.
Yeah, here's hoping. You know, fingers crossed. I mean, we completely Nintendo did not even acknowledge its birthday like this year. They just went right over. They were like, "Hey guys, so Legend of Zelda, Mario, all this stuff. Hey, Year of Luigi," and then they're like, "Hey, what about Samus?" They were like, "Samus, she had a game." Super Metroid was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever Metroid does next, like, hopefully, like, I don't know. They need to do something new, but, like, I don't know, not sort of, like, not to the point where it's going to turn people off. Like, Federation Force isn't really what people want, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
As for Zelda, recently, like Nintendo EGR Enumas said basically like, oh, it's going to be a new sort of take on Zelda. It's going to be like he's basically implying that it's going to be like another sort of big step forward, like Ocarina of Time was. So, do you think we're actually going to see that, or is it just sort of like it's just hype on his part?
I'm just picturing a game that's probably never going to end. It's probably going to be the most ginormous game ever.
I know there's a few like people who've made like videos about like the Zelda franchise recently, and I've watched them, and I agree with them as for most part though that like Ocarina of Time did a lot of really good things, but then Nintendo just thought we need to keep doing these things. We need to keep like this waiting thing. It's just like we're going to keep like suspending your playtime, like, by making you wait more, and then making you, like, I don't know, like, I don't know, I'm going off on a tangent that won't end, but I will say that I really liked Link Between Worlds, because what that did was it felt like Link to the Past, but it added this, like, new mechanic that just felt like Zelda, and that was, I don't know, that was such a bold new move. And everyone took to it very well, so now I'm led to believe that maybe they're willing to try something new with Zelda again. And I don't know, I'm hoping for it. I just don't want another Skyward Sword.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy Skyward Sword too much. I mean, I did to a degree, but towards the end I sort of fell off.
Yeah, I liked some of it, but it was just like Fee, point to this, point to that, point to this, point to that. Running, like, the running mechanic was just, it killed
me. Yeah, I thought that was a good idea, but then in practice, I kind of got annoyed by it, because you'd run out of stamina all the time. And
like, what was the point of that, though? What was the point of the stamina gauge?
Yeah.
Like,
I think the only time that it really came into play really well was the Silent Realms, and that was just because it was kind of like, oh yeah, you actually can't infinitely run away from things. It just, you actually do have to budget your stamina and stuff, but I feel like it's the only place that that mechanic particularly worked out. And I think that's one of the things that Zelda's been suffering with for a while, is all of these good idea mechanics that don't go anywhere. They just
Silent Realm, they could have just been like, hey Link, just a heads up, your stamina here is nothing, so you have a stamina gauge in the Silent Realm, and everywhere else you can run and swing your Wiimote and try to catch things with the butterfly net, and you know, so you'll get frustrated at 3 a.m, and you'll scream, and everybody will come in and see what's wrong with you.
I feel like you have some issues with this game.
I have some issues with the Zelda franchise.
You just have some issues, don't you, Josh?
Yeah, yeah. You got me, guys. So, the reason I haven't been on here in a while is because I was put away.
going back a bit more on topic. So with the reveal of Zelda, we're obviously going to get like a big sort of trailer and, you know, a lot more details, seeing more areas and finding out what the game's, you know, even called. Do we think it's almost a lock that it's going to be two versions of the game, like Twilight Princess was?
I mean, I feel like the main thing with NX is they just want to cut ties with the Wii U. So I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm with Kim.
So yeah, we just think Zelda's just going to be the last big sure. Wii U game, and that's it for Zelda. They're going to just have to turn around an NX version, an NX Zelda.
I mean, they've tried so hard to push the Wii U in so many different ways. I feel like, what's the point now?
Yeah. I mean, everybody else is already working on their next big thing, and it's just, the Wii U didn't really, I mean, I don't know, I shouldn't talk. I don't have a Wii U.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I like my Wii U, but it was just a very confusing system for people to buy. I mean, for the longest time, people didn't even realize it was a new system. It just sounded like an accessory.
I mean, I will say this. I have played Wii U Super Mario Maker, and I feel like that game was, like, perfect for the Wii U.
Yeah.
Just like with the whole drawing screen and just, you know, I don't know. And you could, I felt like it was, like, that, I don't know. That game was great. But every other game I played, I've just been like, okay, like, this doesn't really feel like it needed to be on the Wii U.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So aside from Zelda at E3, like, do you reckon we're going to see a, like, the first tease of a new big 3D Mario as well?
I mean,
see the timing working out for that. I'm wondering also about Splatoon, since it was so successful on the Wii U.
I wonder if they could maybe, yeah, do another Splatoon, like, early, quicker, again.
Or just something.
It's the first time in a while that they've had a brand new property that's done just phenomenally.
Yeah, I mean, last one was, like, Pikmin, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say Pikmin was that successful, though.
Oh, really? Maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
Like, not on the same
Pikmin's
level.
Pikmin's kind of niche. Mm.
I don't know, man. I loved Pikmin. I thought it was really fun.
No, yeah, I have it on the Wii U. That's actually the first Pikmin I've played was the last one.
Hey,
Pikmin 3?
Also got Pikmin 4, apparently, coming, so don't forget about that.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to give up on this. How did I miss that?
Apparently, that came out, like, what, October or something last year, I think.
It was my birthday, so, you know.
Eurogamer had an interview with Miyamoto at last E3 or something, or just before E3, and he slipped that, oh yeah, we're working on Pikmin 4 and it's almost finished.
Well, because it's like his favorite.
We have not seen anything about it since then.
I don't know why. Why would you tease that and be like, it's almost done, and then just, you don't see it?
Mm. Well, because then everyone's like, wait, no, we weren't supposed to, shh.
Yeah.
So, that was the way it went with Pikmin 3 as well. They're just like, someone asked him directly in a E3 in like conference, and he's just like, oh yeah, we're working on Pikmin 3.
Next question.
He just likes, yeah, dropping Pikmin. Like, randomly.
Well, it's like, he said, like, I think the third one was his favorite game of all time, or something, to make. So, he's clearly excited.
So, aside from E3, like, if the NX is coming out this year, or, like, early next year, or something, like, what do you think Nintendo's, like, strategy is going to be? How's it going to differ from what they did with the Wii U? Are they going to, I don't know, how they're going to make the messaging clear, and how they're going to get people excited for a Nintendo console again.
I mean, they need to do, and they never do, is compare themselves to the other consoles. They always shy away from that. Meanwhile, Xbox and PlayStation are constantly like, pick ours over the other one. We're better than that guy. And just Nintendo shies away from that. And I get why in the past, because they're so different, and they have such a different type of audience. But the rumors we've been hearing about the NX and how powerful it is and how it's going to be, you know, a whole slew of things, they just really just need to get more aggressive. Because they finally, I think they're finally making something that can really compete on that level with the others.
Yeah, it would be nice for Nintendo to come out strong again and be a bit more aggressive in terms of what they're saying about their own system and even, yeah, like the competitors and stuff.
I mean, if they...
Or that confidence back.
If they announce,
because they
like
always
Smash
push
Brothers
their games
it,
like, we
enough.
Have Mario, we have Zelda, like, look at the games that you love. But they never really, like, push, like, by the way, our console is actually legit better.
Well, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I was going to argue with you.
Well, I guess if the rumors are true that it's going to be, like, comparable power-wise to the, like, the newer systems, or even a bit more powerful, that'll be the first time since the GameCube that that's been the case. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
so
the
GameCube was pretty Super bad. Mario Sunshine 2?
Oh my god, I wish.
I hope not, actually. Something new. I wouldn't, they can do an HD remake of Sunshine. I wouldn't mind that, but look forward with Mario. We need another big sort of revolutionary Mario, or at least one that sort of, I don't know, is a bit more inspiring than 3D World. Even though 3D World on the Wii U was really good, it wasn't like the most, I don't know, it didn't have that wow factor about it, even though it was
It wasn't Super
game.
Mario Galaxy.
Well, yeah, but I felt like Super Mario World was what we needed at the time, because, like, Galaxy was so crazy and out there that it was a good time to have, a classic, familiar, retro title that was just fun because, I don't know, it's just what you're used to and the normalcy of it. But
so, Kim, would you say that the series needed to be grounded?
Shut the hell up.
This is why I'm not asked back.
I'm done with my sentence.
Well, also I feel like they had Super Mario Galaxy, but they also had the Mario Maker, and that is kind of a Mario game in and of itself, and it was revolutionary in the sense that it's like endlessly replayable because people will always make more levels for you to play.
Yeah, and but that's the thing, people are stuff. Making them. Like, you can't do anything
but
innovative
or different. Is that a bad thing? Well, you could try. Yeah, I don't know. What do you want me to say, Kim?
maybe, you know, because Josh is obviously the most creative Mario Maker here, so...
Who doesn't have a Wii U.
Not having a Wii U and all that, you know. He has to do it on paper.
He's just thinking he's drawing it all.
I'm just drawing chain chomps like D&D, and I'm like, yes, no, to get past you have to roll to see if you jump correctly.
Just like do all the D&D blueprints and then just mail it to like Neil or something, and you're like, please make it.
Neil, can you put my name on it?
It's really good, I swear.
So do we think Nintendo, like, the first year of the new system is going to be, you know, the most crucial? Are they going to come out swinging with, like, they're going to drop like a 3D Mario at launch, they're going to have like some sort of Zelda game, they're going to have Metroid, they're going to try and drop as many big hitters in the first year as possible, or are they going to do what they've done the last few generations and just sort of put out a couple of pretty good high quality titles at launch and then sort of drip a few others out over the first year?
Well, I'm a little,
can I make,
like,
a wild guess?
Go for it.
So Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
Like, what if they had, like, something that connected to that through the NX? Like, an accompanying
Well, yeah, they
game.
Said they're going to connect the handheld and the console.
No, but, like, I'm saying, like, a part of the game.
I assume they would do something.
Like,
or maybe I'm just
like,
really
sorry, I'm not explaining myself. Like, there is a story in Sun and Moon, but there's, like, another part of the story that you download on the NX. So you get, like, the full story through the NX and your 3DS.
I feel like the Pokemon people would probably fight that, though, because they don't want anything that's gonna, like, alienate part of the audience to be like, oh, you have to have the NX. Sucks for you.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 3DS only, and that's it.
And maybe one of those
like
things.
I said, wild guess.
Almost like Pokemon Stadium, that maybe something that connects to Pokemon Sun and Moon, you know, like in the way Pokemon Stadium used to connect to the Game Boy Advance games, so that it might be almost like building off of the game. That would be another interesting concept, but you'd have to do something different than just another Pokemon Stadium, obviously. So,
well,
I don't know, maybe something like that could be a thing.
Maybe like a Pokemon Snap.
Oh, yeah. That was where the Wii U missed out.
Yes, wouldn't it been so damn perfect? Because you kind of have a camera-shaped item in your hands. I don't know.
Ugh. Kim, do you have some anger or some issues about Pokemon Snap?
Dude, the guy freaking said that audio, like when they were interviewing him, he was like, I don't really see how it could work on the Wii U. Are you crazy? It's a camera! The end.
All right, so I think we'll wrap this section up. And we'll take another short break and we'll be back in a minute. For the last segment. So now we're going to just have a mini segment discussion about sort of our favorite console launches or the ones that are the most memorable to us. So Josh, what was your favorite console launch?
Oh boy. I mean, I loved the like insanity that was the Wii launch and like the serendipitous, like my friend's mom was outside of a GameStop when they were unloading Wiis, and she was like, can I get one of those? Because she knew that my family wanted one, specifically me. And we ended up getting it like launch week, which was insane in my part of New Jersey where I grew up. And it was just like this really, and they like, you know, the family brought the families together and all that stuff. And it was just one of those really sweet moments. And I was like, all right, yeah, way to go, Wii, bringing people together.
So were you, in, like, you were like, anticipating the Wii, like,
yeah,
for a long time, like, the
yeah, I was, so. Yeah, I was all about the Wii. I loved the Wii. And yeah, I wasn't disappointed. I was very happy.
Yeah, I remember, around the time of the Wii, I think it was like a month and a half out, Nintendo Australia, like, allowed some people to, like, come down to Sydney and play Twilight Princess and a few of the other Wii games at the time, and it was basically like they sent out an email to people that were like on the Nintendo Australia like mailing list thing and said, oh, guess what, you're being chosen. So me and my friend were selected, so we got to go down and play the Wii like a month and a half early, and I was like, oh damn, now we're gonna wait a month and a half for Zelda, to play Zelda, because we got to play it a bit earlier, and we tried out Excite Truck, and
we I love that they said you were chosen, like, you are part of the prophecy. Yeah.
We weren't allowed to take any pictures or anything. I took down my video camera to, like, I don't know, to get some shots and stuff, but they were like, no, you're not allowed. Excite Truck also didn't come out here at launch. It came out like 3 months later. That was a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Wii had a pretty solid launch, but I look fondly on it.
Kim, yeah. what's your favorite?
I think hands down the Wii is my favorite.
What did you say? The Wii is your favorite as well?
Yeah, I didn't really follow the others. Just they came out and I was like, cool, I want that. But the Wii, they did so good with all the hype and everything, and that's when I was watching all the E3 coverage on my computer and stuff, and so I just really got into it. And I do think, like, also like Josh said, it was a really good one for the whole family. Like, I think that's the first time really, like, everyone in my family was interested in it. Like, my grandma would come over from next door and we made her like a Mii and played all the different sports games with her and stuff. So, I just think, yeah, it was just hands down, they handled it really well and just got everyone really psyched, for this totally different type of console.
Mm. It is kind of surprising, like weird, that they were able to capture that magic, like, and get everyone excited, and not being basically sold out of the Wii for like 2 straight years or whatever it was, basically. Like, it was hard to get in America, at least. It was hard to get for at least a year and a half, right? As soon as they came in, they were sold, basically. So,
and I think they just marketed it so smart. Like, everything about it was very neutral. They made it white, so it was like more friendly. It didn't seem like a badass console type of thing. It was just open and friendly, and then just the way it was. I think they said, like, the whole reason they even thought of the motion controls was because they were just trying to figure out a console that took, like, casual gamers and then more hardcore gamers and brought them to the same level, because everyone had to learn how to play it. Which just made it so much easier for people who never were into video games to just pick it up and try it out.
Mm. Yeah, I loved the virtual console as well. Like, early on, it was really cool being able to go to the shop and go, oh yeah, let's buy some Sonic the Hedgehog or whatever.
In 64 games.
Yeah, they had Mario 64 day one, didn't they? That's right. Yeah. I went to a midnight launch
at
Toys R Us to get the Wii with my friends. So we, like, four of us were in the car. We drove over there and hung out with heaps of people for like a few hours, and that was where I unfortunately broke someone's Master Sword. I think I've mentioned that before, but it was unfortunate.
I think my mom just came home with it one day. I think, like, she just came home with it one day and was like, here, we have a Wii now, and it's mine. And every single time we wanted to do something, like, we wanted to take it somewhere, she's like, no, this one's mine. You have to ask me.
Yeah, I think I took like a week off work and played, like, to play Zelda and stuff. So, so Becky, what was your favorite console launch? Please don't say the Wii.
Game Boy Color.
I'm going to be different. And I'm not going to say the Wii. I was actually going to say the Game Boy Color, because when I was really little, it was one of the first times I actually paid attention to any kind of handheld or console launch, because, you know, it was like, and it was 98, I think, is when it came out, so I, you know, actually had decided by that time that I liked video games, so it was like, oh my god, this is new, and I had only barely played the original Game Boy and the Game Boy Pocket by that time, because my sister had a Game Boy Pocket. So suddenly it was like, oh my god, games are going to be in color? What? and it was like one of the first times I actually was able to get my own handheld console, or my own handheld. So it was like, this is super cool. Yeah, I mean, like, the marketing wasn't really I don't want to say it was the greatest thing ever, you know, 90s commercials and whatnot or something.
90s commercials make zero sense. But
I just remember it was like the big thing that Black Friday, about a month later, you know, everybody, or not a month later, got it released in November. So, yeah, it would have been like right after the launch. It was like big. And everybody was like trying to get it for Christmas. And I remember my mom had to go to Walmart at like 3 a.m. to get one for my sister. Because, again, I was still wishing for, you know, like, roller skates when I was 8 and didn't really appreciate video games much.
What a mistake you made.
I totally wanted hers right after she got it for Christmas. I was like, that's cool.
As you stared at your roller skates. Damn it.
So. I wish for the wrong thing. Why?
The most regrettable choice of your life.
Yeah, the Game Boy Color was, like, pretty impressive. The screen, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, the screen is so sharp and clear. You can, like, everything looks so much better than even the Game Boy Pocket. And the turning it over, and you had that, like, that bump on the back where the batteries go for your hands to sit better. That was like, oh, good, it's not, like, square anymore. It doesn't dig into your hands as much.
It's contoured to your hands, your little tiny hands.
As for me, I might have to say the first console launch that I was probably paying the most attention to would have been, it's probably roughly equal with the Game Boy Advance and the GameCube. I was anticipating the GameCube for quite a while, like reading, that's when I started getting into like magazines over here and just following the sort of the general like road to the things coming out. I mean, I remember looking at screenshots of like Golden Sun and another game called, I don't think it ever came out, but it was Magical Vacation. I used to think that looked really cool. And, like I remember like, as soon as like something about the GameCube came on TV, like one of the morning shows one morning had like a demo of like Rogue Leader and like the GameCube in general. So it's going, ah, I need to play it. I need to save up. I need to play it. And a store here actually imported a US machine because the GameCube launch was, I think it came out in America in November 2001. The GameCube didn't come out here until May 2002. So there was like quite a big gap where everyone else, like everyone in America and online was playing it, but we couldn't actually get it here. So it was even worse. We had to like wait those extra months. So yeah, a store over here imported one. So I just used to go there and play like
that,
Luigi's Mansion.
That kid sitting outside the window with your face on the window.
Sorry, I was outside the window. Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, the GameCube was probably the most exciting for me. Like the Wii, I was really wanting the Wii as well, but I think because I was a little older at that point, like it wasn't quite as mysterious or like special, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Did you all get GameCubes early on, or?
Yeah, that's the first console I ever bought with like my own money. I remember saving up.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. It was just a really big deal. And I got to pick which game. I got it from Costco, so it came with a game, and it came with Super Smash Brothers.
Look at you being all fancy.
Hey, if I was going to make my first purchase, I was going to make damn sure I got the best deal. And it came with the game guide, too.
I was totally into Sony about that time, so I didn't get a GameCube right away.
They actually dropped the price before it came out in Australia, because I think the Xbox had a price drop. And to match it, they dropped the GameCube over here by, like, I don't know, $60 or something. So it was just enough for me to get a second game. And I was contemplating on Luigi's Mansion or Rogue Leader. And my sister just blurted out Luigi's Mansion, and then the clerk just ran off and got it. So I was just, oh, okay, well, I guess it's Luigi's Mansion then. They didn't really wait for me to say anything. They just, like, heard my sister yell it out, and they went and got it. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I'll get Luigi's Mansion.
So that's how it works in stores, the loudest one.
Luigi's Mansion and Sonic Adventure 2 were my two launch games, so... And Sonic was kind of like a culture shock because I hadn't played a Sonic game since like the Mega Drive at that point. And, I was like, why is there like rock music and lyrics? And why is Sonic fighting like looking like this? And like, I was sort of
rolling
like, what's going on? It doesn't seem the same cutesy.
Got places to go, God.
Why is he in like a semi-realistic environment?
Because he's got to go
out
fast.
Get out of here, Sonic.
Got to go fast.
I never owned a Sonic game.
Go do yourself a favor and buy all of them.
Well, I've always had access to them. My friends always had them. I just never personally bought one because I could just go to a friend's house.
Well, you should start with Sonic Unleashed. Then literally any of them. Wow, hey, children might be listening to this.
Just stop, Josh, just stop.
Okay, so I think we'll wrap up this episode. thanks everyone for coming on and having a chat.
Thanks for having me.
That's all right. We should try and get you back on again soon, Josh, and you can
bring always back good to be
the,
back.
Yeah. Pokemon game show for a revival at some point.
I am so looking forward to that.
We could do a video version. We could do a video version for season 2 on the Kim and Becky show.
Oh, I would love that.
Idea. You have to.
All right, we'll see what happens. Bring back the Max. Hashtag bring back the Max.
Bring back the Max.
Yeah. Make it all about me.
Maybe you should just start your own YouTube, YouTube series, Max Attack or something.
Oh, that's even better. Hashtag Max Attack. That's when I just come onto your podcast. And apropos of nothing.
He's like, rah, rah, rah,
he just like randomly just attack. Found out when we're recording and joined the call somehow.
Just hack
Hashtag
Skype.
Max Attack. Make it happen, okay. Guys.
And once again, if anyone would like to send us some questions or comments, please do so by emailing Connectivity, which is connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, or you can join and contact us on Twitter, which is ConnectivityNWR. Do you guys want to drop your Twitters here?
Do I have a Twitter?
Yeah, you have Twitter. You had a Twitter before I had a Twitter.
What am I at?
Yes, you do. I follow you.
I don't know. I think you should make a new one called @MaxAttack.
@MaxAttack. Okay, guys. So you can either look for me @MaxAttack or I'm going to guess Josh B. Max. And just if you, for every follower I get, I usually tweet something. So, you know.
Well, it sounds like you haven't tweeted for a while if you can't remember if you have a Twitter or not.
Yeah, well, I haven't logged in. Maybe people, I don't know. Maybe I'll tweet again.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Yeah, what about you guys?
Mine's Kim Keller A. A doesn't stand for anything.
Well, A does stand for anything.
Are you a twin and there's a Kim Keller B out there somewhere?
I would love to meet her and then take her down. Like trying to log Becky, on Twitter right now. Where the hell is Josh?
Mine's just @BHDangerface.
I'm @NicholasNWR. So again, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another installment of Connectivity. Until then, goodbye. Thank you. We'll be right back.